I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. George F. Walker is one of Canada's prolific and critically acclaimed writers and playwrights. His play Dead Metaphor will be staged by the Firehall Art Center. Chelsea Haberlin is its director, and she joins me now to talk about the play that's been described as dead serious and seriously funny. In the play, a young ex-sniper named Dean, who recently returns to Canada from Afghanistan, he deals with family, looking for work, and politics. The show features Megan Gardner, Mike Gill, Carmela Sison, Donna Spencer, Alex Willows, and Giovanni C. The show runs at the Firehall Art Center the 2nd to the 23rd of April. Chelsea Haberlin is a director, producer, and dramaturge with a degree from the University of Victoria. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program Chelsea Haberlin. Ms. Haberlin, good morning.
Good morning.
I had Kamir Chai on a few days ago. And he said you guys were doing an interview and someone referred you as Chelsea Handler.
Oh, yeah. Someone printed that. He did an interview and someone printed my last name as Handler. It's very close.
Yeah.
The last name, not the personality.
I appreciate you coming on to talk about this because this is a play that I've heard a lot about. It's been around for a couple of years. Is that right?
Yeah, it has. It premiered in San Francisco and then was in Toronto 2 summers ago, mm-hmm. and this is its Vancouver premiere.
Yeah, and Walker is a guy who's been around for a while, and he's written just a number of plays, and he's done some television as well, shows that we'd all recognize. What is it about his work that makes it as compelling as it is?
Yeah, he does a really amazing job with dark comedy. Is the topics that he addresses in his plays are often heavy. You know, a man returning from Afghanistan and dealing with the repercussions of that at home is a heavy topic, but the play is hilarious. And it is hilarious in a way that is still respectful to what he went through, mm-hmm. what he endured, and respectful to, you know, the family, but very funny. So I think that is a gift of George F. Walker. He does an amazing job combining stories that matter, stories that have heart, and are also hilarious.
Well, when a company like Firehall Arts Center gets a play like this and wants to stage it, do you as a director have time with him as a playwright?
No, I didn't in this scenario. I think if it was a new script, I would. If it was a brand new script, I probably would. But I just had to read it, and I watched interviews with him online, and I've directed some of his plays before, so I have a sense of sort of the tone of his work and mm-hmm. what works best. It would have been amazing to have had time with him, though.
Yeah. So what happens in the show? What is Dean's war experience, and how does that feed into what happens in Dead Metaphor?
Yeah, so Dean has a unique war experience because he was a sniper. Which is not something that a lot of people who go to war get to do. He had, he says in the play, he had a good eye, and they picked up on that, and they trained him to be a sniper. And he was a very, very good sniper. He was successful. And he was so good that he reenlisted and did another tour. And when he reenlisted, his wife divorced him because she couldn't deal with the possibility of him dying while away at war. And his family strongly opposed him going to war. So the play picks up 5 months after he's returned from war, when he's come back home, and shows him struggling to find a job, any job, because the thing he's trained to do is shoot people. He's not trained to do anything else. He's a guy who you're led to believe doesn't have any schooling, hasn't been trained to work a trade. They'd hoped he'd go away to work in the military and come back, you know, being able to work as a mechanic or something like that, but he was trained to kill people. So the play kind of asks the question, what do these guys do? Like, what is the thing that is best for this? What is the thing that is most appropriate for him to do to his skill set? And it's pretty interesting how it all plays out.
Yeah, that's something that we haven't really thought about. I mean, previous generations that went to war, like Canadians that went to the First World War or the Second World War, that was a time where, you know, everybody went to war or everybody had an experience. And unlike Afghanistan, which, you know, it's a volunteer armed forces.
Yeah.
So not everybody is participating, but there are people like Dean who come back like this. And I guess the show gives us a chance to think about the people we send to war and what happens afterwards.
It does, and it's interesting because it actually doesn't, he doesn't talk very much in the play at all about his experience at war, but it's there all the time. Like, the effects of war are present in his behavior, and they're present in the way that he speaks, and it's clear that it has an effect on him, but the play doesn't dwell in that. It just allows you to kind of watch his life unfold after.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point in the play where his wife says to him, did you tell the people who were interviewing you for jobs, did you tell them that you killed people? And he's like, yeah, I did. It was something that that in the war made him unique. The number of kills he had made him unique. It made him an asset. And so when he came back to look for a job, that's the thing that he shared at his job interviews, because that's the thing that in war made him important. And so just that way of approaching the world is so interesting, that was his experience, and that in the real world, when you come back from war, there's no way that somebody's going to hear that you killed 18 people and feel like that's a valuable asset in an insurance office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
mm-hmm.
doesn't, the two things don't match up. So it does really make you wonder about what are these young men and women doing when they return? And the thing they're trained to do is something that not only is not valued, but pretty kind of scary to those of us who've never experienced war.
Chelsea, the folks that are in the show, I listed them off the top. These are a lot of these names are ones that we've seen on stage in this town
mm-hmm.
before.
What was the
process in terms of casting these folks in the show?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about the cast, actually. It's a really amazing group of people. We just did our first stumble through, and after a week already the play is in good shape, which is not always the case, so that was really great to see. So I have two artistic directors in the city in the show, which is awesome. Donna Spencer, who's the artistic director at the Arts Club, and who's in a role that is so well-suited to her, a role that she herself really wanted to play when she first read the script. So when I came on to the project, she expressed interest in it, and it just felt like a good fit. And Giovanni C. from the Gateway. He's the artistic director at the Gateway. And he is just made for this role. He's just so wonderful in this part. Then I have some younger actors, Mike Gill and Carmela Susan. Mike Gill is a recent graduate from Studio 58, but he's kind of already making the splash. And Carmela is a young actress who's been in Vancouver for a few years, but she, like me, went to school elsewhere. And when you arrive in Vancouver, sometimes it takes some time to be seen on the big stages. So this for her is kind of an opportunity to be seen on one of the big stages in Vancouver. And then obviously I have Megan Gardner, who's just hilarious and an unbelievable actress. It's really interesting in the cast because there's a couple in their 20s, a couple in their 40s, and a couple in their 60s, 70s. So it's really interesting to watch couples in those three different generations and to get to work with actors that are in those three different age brackets.
Yeah, and it's a sign of just how richly talented we are in this town to have the sort of performers that are here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, doing auditions is crazy. Like, I could have cast this play several times over. There's such a wealth of talent in this city.
Yeah, and you, did you grow up in Victoria, or?
No, I grew up in Vancouver.
Oh, I see.
And then when I graduated, I really wanted to go to UVic. I just loved UVic. So I went there for 5 years and did the theater program there and started a theater company when I was over there and then came back. And then since then went back to UBC and got my master's degree in directing.
I see. And so for you, was it something that you always wanted to come back to Vancouver and not only go to school here, but to work here?
Yeah, I did. I am one of those rare people born and raised in Vancouver, love Vancouver, always want to live in Vancouver, not letting the price of housing and the cost of living here drive me out. I am determined to live in this city. I'm, you know, one of those people. My family's here, and I am a person that loves, I'm very nostalgic. So being in the place that I grew up is meaningful to me. It's just something that I feel, it's a city I feel very attached to. I've always wanted to work here.
Yeah, and you know, we talked a moment ago about just the rich talent that we have here. The scene is pretty good here, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, it. Like I said a little bit before, when you come from out of, when you are trained out of town, it takes a little while to break in because it's not a huge community, mm-hmm. and you know, there's really good work being done, but there aren't a ton of paid opportunities. So it takes some years to break in and to kind of make a name for yourself as someone who's trained elsewhere. But once you're in, there's lots of work. I'm directing 3 shows this spring, so you know, it's busy.
Yeah, and I mentioned off the top the Kamir Chai's project, Deuced Friend, and we're talking on March 22nd, and I guess the show opens tonight, is that right?
That's right, it does. Yeah. I just spent the weekend in tech for that show.
Yeah, and so I know you have a lot of jobs, but the association with New World, is that close to, say, a day job for you?
Yeah, New World is my day job, but as far as day jobs go, it's just about the best deal you can get. I'm the associate artistic director there, so that's a new position. I've been in that position for about 6 months, and so I'm just kind of still finding my footing and figuring out what exactly that position entails, because it was a position that was created for me, so we're just sort of feeling it out. But essentially, I get to work with Marcus Youssef in making the artistic decisions for the company. He gets the final say, but we talk about it, we work together on it, and we're just kind of finding space for my projects, which is an ideal position to be in. Having a company gives you a lot of freedom in terms of the things that, the place that you get to direct, the community projects that you get to create. So I'm very, very grateful for that opportunity. And Deuced is the first play that I've directed with New World. It's co-directed with Kamir, but it's the first play that I've had that kind of artistic input on.
Yeah, New World's had a good year, hasn't it? I mean, the Charlie Demers thing, Leftovers, that was a smash, wasn't it?
Oh, it was great. This is our 20th anniversary, so it's a huge season. New World doesn't normally have this much work locally in 1 year. We have four whole productions. Mm-hmm. So we had Leftovers at the York, and then we had the international smash hit, Winners and Losers, was at the Cults last month, and we associate produced Inside Out. It was at the Shadbolt, and then Deuced is our last one. So we're tired, but but pretty stoked about the great season we've had.
So back to Dead Metaphor for a sec here. What are the discussions that you're having with the cast about the themes in the show? I mean, are those things that you're sitting around saying, discussing as to what Walker writes about in this play?
Yeah. What different directors have different approaches. I tend to think about the big picture myself, but then actually in the room with the actors to really focus on the details. So to focus on the action in any scene. I don't find it super useful to talk big picture meaning. Mm. If that happens to come up in pursuit of clarifying a scene or clarifying an objective, then we'll go there. But I find it really useful to focus on the particular characters and what they want and where they come from and what they're driving for. So it certainly has come up, but we're mostly just focusing on telling the story the way that it's written. And like I said, because he doesn't talk a lot about the experience of being at war in the play, we only talk about that enough for the actor playing the guy who's been at war to get a sense of what that would have been like. We're not sort of, going into deep convo about that, about mm-hmm. that kind of thing, unless it's necessary.
You know, you mentioned your approach to directing, and I'm curious to know, as a young director, are there people that you look towards for inspiration?
Yeah, for sure. When I was first starting out, I assistant directed Jimmy Tate on The Idiot, and I found that hugely inspirational. The way that he worked with actors and his vision, and so I definitely learned a lot from him. I often quote things I've learned from him. I also have in my time read a lot of Peter Brook's writing, and I found that very inspiring. I for sure use his approach to directing insofar as I believe that you can pull anything from theater history if it helps you tell the story you're telling. So there are some things in this play that are a little bit idiosyncratic, but very, very suited to the story. Really helped to tell the story the way that I believe it needs to be told. And also, I mean, I learned a lot from the directors I worked with in my master's degree, a lot of what they taught me. So John Cooper, Tom Schultz, Stephen Heatley, they were very inspirational to me. Oh, man, actually, now that I say that, I guess I got to get some lady role models, too.
Because I had to go charge my phone at the public library downtown the other day, and I happened to be on the sixth floor, and I guess that's where they have all their books on film and the sort. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, I saw the spines of the books, and I was looking at them, and you know, they're books about Hitchcock and film directors like that, Billy Wilder. And I'm wondering, because we've grown up in... I'm assuming that a lot of people listening to us, perhaps yourself as well, watched movies before film or before theater.
Before theater.
Do you look to say the great directors in motion pictures and
I do.
And so they do inform the what you do on stage?
They do. Yeah, I'm very Tarantino has been a huge inspiration to me. A lot of the work that I've done has been immersive. So, for example, the show called Killer Joe a couple of years ago, and we actually put an audience inside a trailer with the action.
Oh, yeah.
And so those more immersive plays for me are very inspired by film. They feel very filmic. You're a couple inches from the action. The audience is really kind of fully immersed in the world of the play, the way that you are when you watch a film. So that's very inspirational. And then when I do plays in theater, I try to keep those same ideas as immersion and engagement in mind, so that the audience isn't just sitting back and safely watching the play, but that there's surprises and that there's a proximity, so closeness, that brings them, that brings their attention back to the story. So yes, I love films. I watch tons of films. I recently just watched almost every single film that was nominated for any kind of Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
We watched dozens of films over the course of a month, my husband and I. So yes, I love films. I've never, interestingly enough, wanted to direct them. I have no interest in directing films, but I love to watch them and learn about how to best tell a story and then bring that back to theater.
Yeah, I had, you just mentioned, you know, that show that took place in a trailer. I didn't see that, but I remember people talking about that. I remember reading about that when that was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess because television has become quite innovative in terms of the kind of shows that are on television now and how it's sort of the golden age of television,
mm-hmm.
Do you find that the people going to the theater are looking for something as daring, as innovative as we've seen in film and TV in recent years?
I think they are. I was nervous about that at first. I wasn't sure. But the thing that I learned 100% from Killer Joe and Mojo, this play we did the year before that with It's a Zoo, and then a play I did last year called The Competition is Fierce, and there is a major audience out there looking for stuff that is in your face, looking for plays that are hard-hitting, that don't shy away from violence, that don't shy away from sex, that don't shy away from the heavier-hitting topics. And actually, Dead Metaphor isn't, I would say, a fully in-your-face play, but there is, you know, like, it gets to it. Like, it gets kind of dirty. It doesn't shy away from the realities of life. And I think audiences want that. I don't think obviously there's an audience that wants a different kind of experience, that wants a Mary Poppins or a comedy or, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But there's this whole other audience, and I think often it's a young audience that doesn't want kid gloves when they come to the theater, that wants to be thrown right into the middle of something that's real. And I'm super interested in that kind of theater. I'm really interested in something that pushes and challenges an audience and sometimes makes them feel uncomfortable and sometimes makes them squirm and makes them laugh and gasp. And I'm really interested in plays that push that. And audiences in Vancouver are ready for it, and I think producers are seeing that now.
Yeah, I guess Jordan Tannehill was right, there is an audience for, say, Driving Miss Daisy or a well-made play like that. But people, you know, of a younger demographic, say, want something more stimulating.
Yeah. You've read Jordan Tannehill's book.
Yeah, he was on a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, he was.
A couple months ago, I should say. And so we were talking about that book.
I recently read his book and was agreed fully with really the majority of what he said. The stuff that he says about his beliefs about what an audience is looking for, that they want something that's raw and real and happening in front of them, not something that's pre-prepared and safe and kind of, you know, regurgitated. They want theater that's alive, not theater that's dead, you know. And, like, you know, the things that he's saying aren't new ideas. Like Peter Brook was saying the same thing back in the 60s. We want theater that's alive. But I think if he's brought forward a really good reminder to all of us young theater producers, and I guess all producers and all directors and all artists, really, that if you want a new audience to pay attention, it can't, if you want them to be anything other than unimpressed, you have to tell something that pushes them.
Chelsea, I've enjoyed our chat today. Thanks for this, and with Dead Metaphor, break a leg, as they say.
Thanks so much.
FirehallArtCenter.ca is the website for tickets and information. Dead Metaphor is on at the Firehall Art Center the 2nd to the 23rd of April. Chelsea Haberlin, the show's director, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.